The Lord be with you.
Also.
Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's for our service of Holy Communion on this, the fourth and the last of the Sundays of Advent. As is our custom, we light another of the Advent candles at the beginning of these services. And this morning we are delighted to have David, Rachel, Michael, Rebecca and Evan Albury, who are sitting in pole position in the front row of the side aisle and are all set to come up to light the fourth of the Advent candles.
Today we see that the first three candles of Advent wreath are lit, the candles of hope, peace and joy.
Now we light the fourth candle of Advent. This is the candle of love. Advent is a time for kindness, thinking of others, and sharing with others. It is a time to love as God loved us. God is love. Let us be love also.
From the Gospel of John we hear, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Let us pray. Teach us to love, O Lord. May we always remember to put you first as we follow Christ's footsteps, that we may know your love and show it in our lives. As we prepare for our celebration of Jesus' birth, also fill our hearts with love for the world, that all may know your love and the one whom you have sent, your Son, our Saviour. Amen. Turning to page 201, together we pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Turning to page 222 for the commandments, and the congregational response is in the words of the New Testament. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me.
You shall love the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God.
You shall worship him with reverence and awe.
Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy.
Christ is risen from the dead. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. Honor your father and your mother.
Live as servants of God. Honor all people. Love your brothers.
You shall not commit murder.
Be reconciled to your brother and sister. Overcome evil with good.
You shall not commit adultery.
Know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
You shall not steal.
Be honest in all that you do and care for those in need.
You shall not be a false witness.
Let everyone speak the truth.
You You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor.
Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Love your neighbor as yourself, for love is the fulfilling of the law.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write all these your laws in our hearts. We turn back to page 202. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The collect for today, the fourth Sunday of Advent. God, our Redeemer, who prepared the Blessed Virgin Mary to be the mother of your Son, grant that as she looked for his coming as our Saviour, so we may be ready to greet him when he comes again as our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the Advent Collect. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armour of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty, to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This writer puts words from Psalm 40 into Jesus' mouth to show that Jesus came in complete obedience to God's will, and he abolished the old sacrificial systems by which people had approached God. He has consecrated us all in his own person. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrificings and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Luke weaves together the wonderful stories of the sons born to Elizabeth and Mary. The mother of Jesus visits the mother of John, and the two are joined in the joy of what God is doing. Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 39.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. My sermon addresses recently seem to have focused on women in the Bible, the good, the not so good, and the downright naughty. Examples include Bathsheba, a wife of King David, Mary Magdalene, Salome, and very recently Hannah, the mother of Samuel. By any standards, we could describe them as a mixed bunch. Today, almost on the eve of Christmas, two more women take central stage. Both of them in the gospel narrative are ranked highly. Both of them are expecting children. However, while that may have been a routine everyday occurrence, the circumstances were anything but normal. The setting was in the hill country near Jerusalem, which required the younger woman Mary to travel a distance of about 80 miles from her home in Nazareth. Now, how she got there and who accompanied her, it's anybody's guess. The other woman, her cousin Elizabeth, was not in the first flush of youth. In fact, she would have been considered to have been beyond childbearing age. It had been a great disappointment to Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah that she could not conceive a child. That is, until now, when she was awaiting the birth of a baby we know as John the Baptist. Around this time, Mary was informed that she would bear a child. What made this unusual was not that Mary was unmarried, but that, according to the gospel narrative, she became pregnant when a virgin. Now, as you and I know, that doesn't happen. Or at least it didn't until the 21st century, which makes the virgin birth one of a number of mysteries of faith. One to which we subscribe, whether we are bemused and puzzled or totally accepting, every time we make the creedal statement, "Born of the Virgin Mary." Elizabeth was a woman of humble faith, thrilled to hear Mary's news and privileged that she was greeting the mother of her Lord. Her son was to become a prophetic figure, although a very controversial and outspoken one, in proclaiming the coming of the Lord. John feared and spared no one in his condemnation of corrupt and immoral lifestyles, which contributed directly to his death by the sword at an early age. Elizabeth's cousin Mary may be depicted sometimes as a quiet, what I call, shrinking violet. But she was no such thing. She was a remarkable person who, when in the early stages of pregnancy, travelled over rough terrain to visit her cousin. Sometimes later, she travelled about 100 miles with Joseph to Bethlehem, where she gave birth to the infant Jesus. She brought him to Nazareth. She was to experience puzzlement and alarm when her 12-year-old son went missing in Jerusalem. And then, 20 years or more later, she experienced the horror as a mother of seeing him dying on a cross. Mary was unmarried, although betrothed to Joseph, who many commentators believe died at a relatively early age, leaving Mary with responsibility for home and family. From what we learn, Mary was truly a remarkable woman. Now, I wish to say something here as an aside. In the early days of my ministry, some young women and men were forced into marriage following an unexpected pregnancy. The consequences sometimes, but I want to add only sometimes, certainly not always, could be disastrous. As we know, social attitudes have changed greatly in the intervening 50 years. Now, an unanticipated pregnancy may mean a major adjustment, but it should not be seen as a tragedy, and certainly not a reason for terminating a potential life. A new life that comes into the world, hopefully healthy and surrounded by loving people, married or otherwise, must be seen as a source of joy. I have been quite frankly appalled on rare occasions, and they've been rare, thankfully, when couples have come to me as a parish rector requesting baptism for their child, having been turned away by a cleric or pastor elsewhere because they were not married. Is it any reason that some families, when faced with a harsh, judgmental approach, decide to sever all connections with what I'll call organized religion? If I got that approach and that attitude, I perhaps would not darken the inside of the church either. Mary and Elizabeth had no wealth and little social standing. They came from nowhere special. They lived in a cultural backwater, and yet God singled them out to be his special instruments for bringing into the world two infants. Two infants who would shape the faith of millions throughout the world. At the heart of the pre-Christmas gospel account is the song of Mary, which we call the Magnificat. We will sing a song or a hymn shortly based on the words of this exceptional song, so remarkable that we sing it regularly, especially at services of evening prayer. In fact, the Song of Mary has been called one of the most revolutionary documents in the world. If you're not sure about that, think of the familiar words that capture God's solidarity with the poor, God's impatience with those who use wealth and power to abuse others. Let me remind you that we sing or say the following. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their seats and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Now, such thinking is not only at the heart of Christian socialism and evangelism, and it had a profound effect on Christian thinkers in particular in the latter part of the 19th century. The notion that transmitting the gospel can be likened to one beggar telling another beggar how to find bread. Such thinking must be at the heart, the very heart, of the Christian gospel. One person who achieved high office politically put it another way, suggesting, and I quote, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. As I've said, the words of the Magnificat are attributed to Mary. If that is the case, and I at least remain open to the possibility, I'll go no further, then she was a very remarkable woman. There could be no greater role model for organisations like the Mother's Union than Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's easy to imagine that Mary and Elizabeth burst into song at the realisation of their condition as expectant mothers. For all Christians, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of our emotional state, this is a time for reflective joy as we prepare to receive the birth of Christ with a song in our hearts. Most of us may be past our leaping or our jumping prime, but at least we can acclaim Mary, the mother of Jesus, with the words, "Blessed are you among women." Luke is the only evangelist who has included the words of the Magnificat. More than any other writer, he addresses social injustice and highlights the role of women in society. And that should be borne in mind in a week when we're recalling the granting of voting rights to some women for the first time 100 years ago. It's right to be reminded of the need for moral, social, and economic progress and renewal. It's right to pray that our politicians may be given greater wisdom and vision in achieving those objectives. And my goodness, they need our prayers at the moment when you see some of the things that are going on. That they work as selflessly as possible for the well-being of all the citizens they represent. However, that is not where our hopes and aspirations cease as Christians. At all times, it is important that we acknowledge the mercy of God and, like Mary, proclaim in song or quietly through our words and actions, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour." God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Using the prayers of intercession, let us pray.
The intercessions are on page 238 in the prayer book and 150 in the large print book. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of Advent and of Christmas, strengthen your church in all the world, thinking especially of the Anglican Church in Kubwa, Nigeria. We think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and her cousin Elizabeth, who at this time await the coming of the Christ child. Help us to share their patience and their joy. This is a busy time, and we in our own ways make it even busier. We concentrate on buying gifts and not on receiving the gift of the light of the world. We think of stocking up on food and on wine, not on receiving the bread and wine and communion we share one with another. We pray for those who are not so fortunate, for those who are persecuted for their faith, like Elizabeth's son John, for those who fled their homelands, like Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, who had to travel to safety in Egypt. We pray for the bereaved, and we think of those who are suffering at this time because of the tsunami in Indonesia. Grant them all security and peace, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our clergy, for Harold, our bishop, John, our rector, Ken and Walter, our assistant priests, and Karen, our lay reader. Grant them a time of relaxation after a busy year and a time to reflect on their plans to further your kingdom in the coming year. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of music, which enchants our ears and uplifts our souls in this holy place. In the Diocesan Circle of Prayer, we pray for all Christian people in our diocese and local community, and for those who have familial links with this parish of Knock. We pray for clergy who are ill at this time, asking that they and their families may experience your inner peace. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. Guide our rulers and give them courage to make decisions, not swayed by petty sectarian politics, but with a desire to seek for the better good of mankind. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and if it be your will, may she live a longer and happy life. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, we often wonder about your childhood, knowing that Mary kept all things in our hearts. Bless those who are in our hearts, loved ones far away physically, those who remain with us but whose minds are not what we once knew, and those whom we still love but who now worship on a different shore. Lord, may we appreciate all those who have cared for our loved ones over the years and used their medical skills to ease their pain. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, you came that we might have life and have it abundantly, and so many of us have. Teach us to reach out to others and to draw them into the circle of your love by our example. Please let us see that our church is inclusive and loving, for we know that you made us in your own image. Allow every person to have another person to love, for no one is an island, and we blossom and flourish with love, which we find in you. Grant that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole lives to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
Turning to page 216, we use the third Eucharistic prayer. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you the sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Christ keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
But of Christ keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
But of Christ keep you in eternal life. But of Christ keep you in eternal life. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you've given us a pledge of eternal redemption. Grant that we may always eagerly celebrate the saving mystery of the incarnation of your Son. We ask this through him whose coming is certain, whose day draws near, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out with the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. You will see full details of the forthcoming services in the Pew News for your reference. Tomorrow night, Christmas Eve, 8 o'clock, the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols. I do want to pay tribute to our organist and choral director, Dr. Joe McKee, and members of the choir for all their hard work at this point, and to say to you that the carol service tomorrow night will be an hour. So you will be able to hopefully come along and join us, and then continue on with your preparations back at home. And I'm most grateful for all the hard work that is being done for that service. Christmas Day, Tuesday, please note the change of times for our Christmas Day services. 9 o'clock, Holy Communion. 10:15 a.m., all-age worship. And then all the remaining services for Thursday morning and next Sunday, all before you, for your attention and reference and participation. Hymn number 123, God the Father sends his angel. Peace to love and serve the Lord.